Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 coming to you from NDC Oslo, where we always have to talk to Jimmy Bogard. Because unlike me, Jimmy actually makes software that people use.
I point this out every single time I meet you, Seth.
Like, I make demoware and I'm like, this is nice, and I maybe make some libraries that maybe like someone uses.
Yes.
But people actually, you have code that people are using right now.
Literally right now. Tens of people are using.
Dozens of people. And the reason why I like have Jimmy on, because he checks me when I'm like, I have these lofty ideas, and he comes out with his pragmatism and is like, no.
Or you tell me that you actually had the idea before me, but you just didn't quite get it.
No, yeah. I never, like, hey, I have this really good idea. He's like, yeah, I built that library 6 years ago. Or I had this genius idea of mapping objects to other objects.
But just didn't quite follow through, did you?
But like in an auto way.
Oh, right,
like, but
yeah.
But auto.
Yeah, okay.
Like, so it was like auto mapping.
What was your project called again?
Nothing.
Okay, that's right.
I finally realized, like, this is hard. And then, yeah. Like, there's some code in AutoMapper that I'm like, I probably wouldn't have people look at.
There's that and all the Stack Overflow questions you have to answer.
Yeah. And do you do that for free? Or do people buy you a beer at least?
No, I mean, Stack Overflow, you get valuable internet points.
Of course.
That you can trade in at your local Sainsbury's for, nothing.
High fives?
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, you have Stack Overflow points. Let me get you a high five there. Very good. Yeah. Caitlin found this to be funny. I don't know why. She might have lost it. Somebody take her away before she laughs too much. So we've talked about AutoMapper. I figured we'd talk about one of your other favorite projects. And unlike other open source projects, these are like things that you actually use.
Yes.
That you're like, I need to put it somewhere else because I keep reusing the code.
Yeah.
And it usually becomes a project.
Yes. So I typically will copy the code like, for years, mm-hmm. until I finally get tired of copying and pasting code, and like, okay, just make it an open source project, put it in Nuget.
Nuget,
and we'll
of course,
download
the French,
it from there. Yeah,
the Nugets, and
exactly.
Then it's also in the GitHubs.
Yeah, exactly.
GitHubs
and
the Nugets.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Mediator, because I downloaded this thing once and I was going to start using it for something, but clearly, I did not have you sitting next to me explaining it.
Yes. So Mediator is a pretty dumb library. It's meant to solve a really dumb problem, okay?
Yeah.
So a few years ago, we had built all these like crazy interior architectures, all these different layering and stuff, and we hated it. I hated it anyway, so I said, okay, let's take it all away. So we defactored, which is the opposite of refactoring,
right.
Just like pull all the code back in, took a step back, and we saw that the big things we were seeing in our application were just, it was request response. I send a request for information in, I get a response back out.
Right.
And so Mediator is just a library to help facilitate those kind of patterns.
So like CQRS type stuff, or not as heavy?
Well, exactly. So commands and queries are just kinds of requests with different kinds of responses. So command is to make some change in the system, and then a query is to read some data back out. But they're both a request to do something, and then a response to get whatever the result of that back out
was. So does Mediator facilitate that kind of pattern, CQRS?
That's the idea. It's like, it can do all sorts of things, but it's just basically
Greg Young would be very proud of you. Except he wrote something else, and he probably wouldn't take a CQRS, right?
Yeah. But it works for me, so that's all.
All right, well, let's get into it so we can get a sense for how this works.
Okay, so I have an ASP.NET Core application, mm-hmm. and one of the really cool things of ASP.NET Core, it's super easy for open source authors like myself to layer on top of ASP.NET Core additional services.
Got it.
So one of the things I have is an open source library on top of Mediator mm-hmm. that its name was given to me by the ASP.NET team, so I blame them. But it's a package that allows me to add Mediator very easily to my application right here.
Okay.
So what this does is basically add all the Mediator junk for the application, just going through ASP.NET Core's
What is that junk?
Okay. So we talked about request responses.
Yeah.
So everything is modeled as a request with a distinct response for every kind of request there is in the system.
So each object is tied to another object, one for
Yeah, it's one to one. So it's always one request or one response.
Okay.
And then my system, I make sure that I don't try to reuse those requests really anywhere. I have just individual requests and individual responses, and that's it. So if I go to something like, this one is I'm listing a set of objects, a set of, what is this? Courses.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just borrowed Microsoft's Contoso University and just made it do Mediator.
Contoso gets into a lot of different businesses.
Yeah, I know. It's worldwide now. It's global.
They're probably getting into stakes.
is what
I heard.
So everything has to be modeled as an individual request. So that's what I have here, a query object. that implements this iRequest interface that I have to tell it what the result object is going to be. So this is the request. This is the response. The response is whatever I show on that screen. So this is often called like a DTO or view model. Mm-hmm. This is an object that I'm specifically creating just for this one screen and just for this one request. Mm-hmm. So in this case, it's the course controller, the index action, and it's going to be the query to be able to fulfill that request. So far, so good?
Yeah, and I like
it. I know I have to go a little bit slow.
Yeah,
for
you got to slow it down, but I'm going to repeat what you just did and see if I'm the reason I like this is that you are upfront saying, this is what I want, and this is what the shape of the thing I'm going to get.
Exactly.
And so you can do that agnostically in a way that you have, it has nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah, so this, you can look at the shape of these, and there's nothing here that says how exactly that request is going to be serviced, what's going to build up that response. We don't care. The implementation goes inside a request handler, and that's what we have here. So I have a handler that's a async request handler for this request type and that response type. Mm-hmm. I get a single method called handle that takes in the request and returns. In this case, it's async, so it's going to return a task of the response.
Right.
And whatever you do inside of here is completely up to you. It just return the response. So this one's using Entity Framework goodness. It's using Entity Framework 6, the one that actually works.
Nice.
And in this case, it's going through the courses, doing some filtering based on the query parameters, and then projecting out those results, actually using AutoMapper, to this result object, and finally returning that result for the end user or for the view to be able to show on the screen. So the view gets this guy.
Now, which is what the response is supposed to be.
The shape of the response, the view model. So that could be for JSON results. It could be for the view models for server-side rendered views. Really, whatever you want. Mediator doesn't care. It's just request response. So the last part we have is how do we actually invoke this handler to say, I want to issue a request for this response.
Right.
And that becomes in our controller.
That's what I was going to ask. So the controller is the one that uses all of this framework to actually
It's a library, not a framework. Oh. But anyway. Not so heavyweight.
This is what I got to get education every once in a while.
Okay, so if you remember before that whole services.addMediator,
yeah.
What's going behind the scenes is it's using Reflection to find all the implementations of these things, mm-hmm. these handlers, and then registering them with the dependency injection container of ASP.NET Core so that this can, for example, get dependencies, like this Entity Framework context object.
Oh, okay.
So you can still use DI if you want to. You don't have to, of course, but you can still use DI and it's all hooked in appropriately.
It's just all singletons, right? Is that the best thing to do?
Yeah, everything's just a global static field. Yeah,
it's VB all over again. Sure, that you is it, that's sarcasm, right? Just because they're better.
Yeah, I forgot to wink.
Everyone's gonna be like public static DB context.
Okay, so very last part is how do I actually invoke this handler? One of the things I hated about interior architectures that I have all sorts of services and repositories to handle these kind of things. And so you'd have a controller with 30 dependencies of like, I have the I course service, the I blah, blah, blah service, I blah, blah repository. So this simplifies things by just having one single request response path that everything goes to, which means our controller becomes very, very simple. I have an iMediator interface, which is the thing in which I issue the request to. Mm-hmm. And then I send a request down, in this case, this is my request object, to get that response back out. And that's it. So every single kind of thing I'm doing now is just sending some request down, and sometimes it has a result, and sometimes it doesn't. So this one is send a request down to get the details of a specific course, and there's the result on the way out. Here's one for editing. So I have the initial request to get the edit form, and then finally when I post back up, I'm sending that request back up as a command to actually perform whatever work needs to be done.
So how is that object hydrated when the request is made?
So these request objects, that's just regular model binding in ASP.NET MVC Core. So the idea is that these requests are supposed to be pretty dumb DTOs. This is post, for example. So this is just the data you'd post up for that form.
Oh, and it does automatic model binding to it.
Yeah, so this is just relying on ASP.NET Core to do what it does best. It just happens that this request object is an actual mediator request thing, and that I'm going to route that request now down to a handler to do the actual work, all through mediator. So my controller's now become like as dumb, as stupid as possible. And as far as like testability goes, because the mediator has this single method send, makes it really easy to just formulate some request, send it through mediator, and then see what the response is. And it's completely opaque, the implementation details of whatever's going behind the handler. So if you want to do SOAR procedures, I mean, if you really want to, you certainly can. And it's completely agnostic in the controller about what you're actually doing behind the scenes.
Okay, so let's scroll up because I have a couple of questions. The first question that you already answered was about the binding. So the query here is just another DOM object, right?
Yeah, so this one, for example, this query is a DTO that represents the query string parameters. So this is a department, so you have kind of like question mark department, or I think it's a drop-down list. So that represents the request parameters, if any. Sometimes they're blank, though. Well, this one's not. I don't think I have any examples of blank ones, but there's no requirement for this request to have any parameters. Mm-hmm. That just the type of the request could represent the thing you're trying to get.
So let's go back. How is the model binding happening on the index call? Because the index, the query might be null, or what's going on? I'm having a hard time. I understand the model binding that's working on the other request, but here it's looking for an entire object.
Yeah, well, that's ASP.NET Core. It knows how to take those complex, take all the like form variables and query string parameters, and they're just dictionaries, string value, key value dictionaries, and so it just finds properties that match that name, case insensitive, and assigns it to me.
But this is like, it has containment, right? So because I'm getting a flat dictionary, but this is looking for an object inside an object.
Yes, although I try to keep mine as flat as possible, just keep things as absolutely stupid and dumb as possible in these DTOs. So this one, for example, this post, this is coming from a form,
I get that.
whatever. Uh-huh. But then the queries, like this one, details query, I need the ID of the thing. So that's just a property called ID. So most of the time you see these where it'll have like string ID as a parameter. In this case, I just represent the entire set of form and query string parameters as a single object that then is that request that I send down to mediator.
So like, I'm still confused. So the model binding will automatically, like if you have a DTO that has an object inside of it, it will automatically hydrate it properly.
Yes, this is basically since like ASP.NET MVC preview 3 days, like really, this is like one of the key features of MVC over my old stuff of like web forms.
Like I did MVC like MVC 1.
Okay.
And that was like I released something in MVC 1. That's the people are still using that program, incidentally. But so I do have code out there that people have used. But the model binding was not as rich as that. And so when I'm seeing you like automatically populate object graphs, I'm like, wait a minute, where's the magic? And you're saying it does it.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to do that. I see a lot of applications where we have to take the query parameters. And because we don't really want to change those URLs, we might have just regular action parameters, and then inside the controller action, we're plucking them out and then creating the request object directly and then sending it down. But this is convenience. I mean, it looks so clean, right?
Yeah.
This looks so nice. So I can just use the same request from the parameters to go ahead and send those down, whether it's in this case, this is a post, and this one's in the get, so it's just displaying data.
Well, can we run it and then step through it and see how all this stuff is happening?
I think.
Oh, you have the fancy new,
I do, the touch bar, which, never mind.
I'm trying to walk you into some landmines here.
Oh, gosh. You know what's funny is this has a headphone jack, but my iPhone doesn't. They took away all the ports for me except for the headphone jack.
Weird.
I think there's just some sadist over there.
Well, there must be. They were trying to get everyone to learn Objective-C, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, Swift.
Swift, we're better now.
I'm looking at courses, so let me go to the courses page. And at this point, it's issuing that query. So it's taken any request variables. In this case, it's the query string, which there isn't any.
Sure.
But if I select a department like mathematics and hit filter, it should change the URL at the top, allegedly.
We should like set breakpoints.
Selected department equals 3. Oh, yeah, let's do that. So I'll run it again with the debugger, and spinning beach ball. Okay, and if I go back over to courses, let's set a breakpoint right here. Yep, all right, and go to the courses page. Oops. It's probably course because I'm singular. Okay, so at this point, if I look at my query object, it doesn't have a value. So once I go down to the actual, this is the handler that takes that response, and I just continue. So now I go to my the actual query handler. I can see the message doesn't have a value for that, so it's going to issue the query, basically checking to see if it has a value or not, and projects that out. And now I have a set of courses that are all populated out. The response coming back, let's see, and goes to the view and now displays the results.
And when you do select a department, let's see that.
All right, so I selected the mathematics department. And now if I look at my query, it has a department object.
But how did it get the department object from like an ID?
That was other magic I've done in this project. Sorry, Seth. I'm sorry, I confused the heck out of you.
Some magic. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I know there's a number coming back.
Okay, so you can also plug into model binding.
You're like, oh.
Yes. Oh. Okay, so I plugged into model binding so that if it sees an entity, it can take the ID value and then go do a lookup and get you the actual entity.
Isn't that going to make it really chatty for the database?
Yeah, but none of the applications that build have a lot of traffic. Like, not a lot of people use them, so it works out well. It's fine.
So, but you could use caching to be a little bit more clever. If
yeah, I don't...
Because every application that I make, there's literally thousands of millions of people that are going to use it, right?
Right. Right. Sure. Yes.
See, this is where the pragmatism comes in, right? He's like, he's like, yes, I know, but who cares?
Well, you are... Don't you run the Bieber fanboy website?
Yeah, of course. I mean, website? I've been at Belieber since the beginning
okay,
of time.
Okay, see, that, so was, that will get a lot of traffic?
Since he was nine.
Exactly, yeah.
That's not creepy. But, like, I like the approach, like, because I told you this, and your response to me back was like, yeah, there's like 10 people using it, so what? And so that's...
Okay, so if I go to, let's go to Nuget.
Okay. Nuggets.
Nuget,
sorry.
I don't use Edge, but I think that works. There we go.
Okay.
It does have a fair number of downloads. I believe it's in the tens of...
No, what I'm trying to say is that when I had this, when I challenged you and said, well, every time you're doing model binding, you're doing a lookup, and then you're doing another lookup when you're responding to the query, I'm like, that feels kind of chatty. And you're like, yeah, I know, but it doesn't matter because there's 10 people using the site.
Oh, right.
That's okay. What I mean.
Not 10 people using my library.
Yeah, yeah. I know there's a lot of people using the library. What I'm saying is you had a pragmatic response to my objection of, well, it's going to ask the database for 1,000 things. So, like, that's what it's for, right?
Yeah. Looking up something by ID should be pretty fast.
Yeah, and so that's the idea. It's like... What I'm trying to point out is that your objections that I have are always met with a pragmatic, like, yeah, there's not a million people looking at that. And if there was, then that's a good problem. We'll solve it a different way.
No, I just try to formulate the answers where I'm still correct.
Oh, got it.
Despite objections.
Got it. How many people are downloading this thing?
It's in the hundreds of thousands, so it's not quite as much as Automapper,
How many of those are yours? I'm
just yeah, I have a build server that's just going. It's like, let's just rack it up. Rack it up.
So I want to see this model binding stuff, magic stuff you're doing, because where is
that? Okay. So over in my infrastructure here, I've got an entity model binder provider because
of
reasons. And what it does is it looks at the metadata model type.
Mm-hmm.
You can only build this inside a debugger, by the way. There's no good documentation.
No, I know.
You have to like dig in to see what's there.
I've looked at this. I've written code exactly like this.
Right. So this says, okay, if a thing coming in is one of these iEntity things,
mm-hmm.
then go ahead and use this entity model binder. Otherwise, don't use me at all.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that's injected in.
Exactly.
Okay.
So in my entity model binder, this is where I can go get the... ugly code, but it's trying to get the ID out.
Mm-hmm.
And once I have the ID, I can go grab my DB context from Entity Framework. I will go to the DB context set based on that model type,
mm-hmm.
like department or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then find that by its result. And then finally say, okay, that was the result I get back.
And like,
so anytime I want to bind to any sort of entity, as long as I declare the property of that type, this will get bound up correctly.
And this, folks, is why Jimmy writes code that people use, right? And I love this because now, like, you've effectively abstracted an int into any entity type.
Oh, it gets even better than that.
Oh, goodness.
So you may not have noticed, but when I was running the application, you noticed that it showed a little drop-down?
Yeah.
So I've also done a thing where if your model type is an entity on and you're trying to display something for it, it will know to go to the database and get the list of those things and show it as.
So you're not writing that code for yourself. Is this like a tag helper or something?
It's another open source project of mine.
Oh my gosh, Jimmy.
So like this guy right here, it knows. I was like, oh, you're an entity. Then I know that entities are a select list, and so I'll go to the database, get that list out, or maybe it's in cache or something, and then return that back out and format it appropriately.
How does it? Let me see this. This is.
Oh, we didn't show the view, I guess. So if I go to the index view for this over here.
This is like one big Jimmy commercial. Like he's a consultant, folks. Okay. I'm just saying.
So here we go. I say, give me an input for this property, and that gives me a lot of things that I don't necessarily want everything. So I said remove this class of form and control from it as well.
And where does this? Where are you building this input from?
It's my other open source library. So there's probably a better example. Yeah, here's like editing something. I just tell it to build form blocks of things.
What is this project? What is this witch doctory you're referring to that I have not
and
seen?
So that this form block actually builds out this entire set of HTML right there.
Dang it, Jimmy. I feel like you've been holding out on me, bro.
Maybe. I don't know.
Where is this library that you speak of?
Yeah, I love this. It's nice and clean. Like, just build me form
it's
blocks
like you don't
stuff.
Want to show me. Where is this? Is
it, oh, this mean, is oh, this is another library called HTML tags. Let me just pull it up on Nuget. There's one. So this library, HTML tags, is a way for you to have some
conventions.
You're like
on version 4. You never really told me about this one.
So this one's actually a project I took over from someone else.
Oh.
Because we use a lot on projects. And so we took it over, added our enhancements, like this stuff. So to be able to just give me the form for this thing, and you figure it out what that's supposed to be. So booleans need to be checkboxes. Enumerations should be dropdowns. Enumerations should be radio buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Nullable enumerations should be a dropdown.
Oh,
because
man.
That's the negative result if you
yeah,
don't have a result.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, that all came to again in my startup here. I said services.addHTML tags right there, and so I. Add the HTML tags with these conventions to say, you know, always add this stupid bootstrap
what's,
junk.
What's the good?
Okay. So I teach it rules about how to build certain kinds of element blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Like for editors, always add that stupid bootstrap CSS class,
uh-huh.
like every single time. For certain property types, do certain things for them. So this what this is trying to do is I'm just issuing a request for a kind of property type. And then these conventions can build up the right HTML elements
Jimmy,
based on these
you're
rules.
You're making me feel like I can write useful code again for somebody, right?
Well, so I'm really big on conventions because these are the things I can enforce via policy
mm-hmm.
and not have to like have those stupid arguments, those bike shedding arguments.
Yeah.
Of like, where should the label be on this thing? Should it be over here, over here? Like, no, these are the rules. Follow the rules and just focus on actual business value.
Nice. So you showed me Mediator, tag helpers,
a little bit of AutoMapper.
There's some AutoMapper was built because Entity Framer builds some you have some Entity Framer stuff for AutoMappers to do automatic projections directly from the database.
That's what that. Yep, exactly. Just like that.
Yeah, I do know about that one.
Yeah. So this project, Contoso University Core, is trying to take all those projects we use on all of our clients and provide an example for people to see how we build stuff.
Well, Jimmy, like I try to use Mediator for like a WinForms project because I thought it would work.
Yeah.
And it should, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And so I got into it and I just got confused and I was like,
probably user error somewhere.
Oh, jeez.
PepCac, I think.
Oh, jeez. PepCac. What does PepCac stand for?
The problem exists between the keyboard and
that's
the chair.
Right. That's
yes.
right. I remember that now. All right, so Jimmy, where can people go to find out more about this? Because I know you do a walkthrough of this, don't you?
I do. So actually, we're here at NDC.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the videos of NDC, or actually my website, jimmybogard.com, there's a little thing for videos. And I've got videos explaining basically all of these different projects that I use on an everyday basis.
Okay.
Of course, my blog actually walks through like the motivation and kind of start to finish about why you'd want to use these things and what
so,
problems it helps with.
Just as an FYI, again, these are things that he finds useful that he had to put it somewhere else. And it's just so, like, because you talked about open source once at, it was the first on Air Fringe.
Like,
I started taking pull requests that, like, weren't me, and it just screwed me up.
Right?
Yeah,
I think everyone does that at first. Like, oh, hooray, people are interested in my thing, and then I have to maintain that code forever.
Yeah, and you don't want to do that. And so that was cool. And so all the open source stuff he has is literally code that he just doesn't want to have to copy-paste everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
yeah.
If he puts it in a NuGet, it actually helps.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy, you're the best. Thanks for spending some time with us. Thanks for watching. We have someone else coming up next. We're pretty excited. I'll see you after a break.